President Donald Farish, it's great to have you here. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Scott. Pleasure to be here.
You know, town-gown relations seem to be smoother in Bristol than in some other Rhode Island college towns like Smithfield and Providence. How was the university able to forge this 20-year, $42 million agreement with the town of Bristol in payments in lieu of taxes and some other benefits for the community?
This is a matter of long standing, and I think every college and college town goes through a kind of growing pains process where the town and the college come to some type of understanding. And it's something we've been working on for many, many years, as you're referencing a program that began in 2007 and continues out for 20 years. A lot of it is just maintaining lines of communication. As new people come onto the town council, it's important that we know them and reach out to them. We look for issues that we can solve together. At the moment, we're dealing with some issues of students who live off campus that are not necessarily keeping the same hours as the local townspeople. And we need to work with the town and the students to resolve that rather than say it's not our problem because it's occurring in the town. So it's just a matter of working, being kind of smart about things.
One of the biggest challenges for college administrators these days is holding the line on tuition, which you've done with a tuition freeze, I know, at Roger Williams, without diluting the quality of the academics. How do you work with this dilemma?
Well, it's simply a matter of mathematics. We anticipate that we would net about $1.5 million after we take care of increasing financial aid if we increase tuition by 3%. So our position is if we can find that $1.5 million someplace else to cover our inflationary costs, we don't have to raise tuition. And recognizing what a financial strain it is for parents to send their kids to college these days, we think it's our obligation to give it, as we would say, the old college try. Go ahead and find that money someplace else. And we do that through fundraising, through increasing the size of our summer school, and through continuing studies programs.
Now, how successful has Roger Williams been in attracting these lifelong learners by way of adult education? That seems to be a growing part of academia nowadays, continuing education.
Well, indeed. And that's how Roger Williams began. Back in the 50s, it was a downtown Providence campus directed at that point to working adults. And we've had a presence in Providence all these years. And at this point, we're expanding our presence because what we're seeing is a decline in the size of the high school graduating class, and that means fewer traditional students. Mm-hmm. And yet the need is increasing for lifelong learning because it's no longer the case you can get a college degree and then you're good for 50 years. You need booster shots, and we are providing those now.
You know, Roger Williams years back was looked upon as an academic institution that wasn't very rigorous, and a generation or so ago, you're in your third year as president. What have you done to improve the climate, and why do you think the university's reputation has gotten better?
Well, I think most universities, again, they have to go through their growing pains. As they begin as institutions, they need to make their way in an existing market. And we recognized many years ago that students that were bright, but let's just say had not applied themselves very well in high school, were looking for some place to go. Many of those students are now our alums in their 50s, and many of them done very well and are very grateful for the fact that Roger Williams gave them a chance. But over the years, as our academic reputation improved, we've attracted stronger and stronger students, such that this past year, 71% of our entering class indicated that Roger Williams was their first choice, which is a long way from where we were 20 years ago.
Back in May, a couple of professors sued the university for sexism and racism. And, of course, we know back in 2007, the chairman of the university's board admitted that he had used a racial slur. The university's had these problems. This didn't happen on your watch, I have to emphasize.
Thank you.
But how are you moving forward and getting past this stuff?
You know, it's just a matter of being smart and consistent. I think, again, every university has its missteps. And what you have to do is learn and move on. So from the standpoint of being racially more sensitive, we've done programs as recently as this past spring in cultural awareness, trying to get people to step into the shoes of other people and understand what it means to come from a different kind of background onto a campus and into a society which has long been dominated by Caucasian culture.
I know you have a Latino Policy Institute now at the university.
We do. That was started actually in our law school a number of years ago. And it's something that I feel very strongly about because it allows us to reach out into the Latino community, which is a rapidly growing part of our society. And since Rhode Island, like most eastern states, went through a wave of successive immigrations, our objective is to see to it that the newly arrived immigrants from the Latino quarter are integrated as quickly as we can into the Rhode Island economy. It's in everyone's interest that we do that.
What's the university doing to diversify its faculty?
We've actually been pretty successful at diversifying our faculty because what we really are a worldwide institution at this point, and people come quite literally from all over the world, often for graduate school and want to stay in this country. So our faculty is more diverse than our student body. The challenge is with the student body because Rhode Island is not a historically has not been a particularly diverse state, and we it's important for us that we be more inclusive, especially with the Latino community, in order to reflect the diversity that exists here in New England.
I notice your largest undergraduate majors, business engineering, and of course marine biology, is that wonderful waterfront campus you have. Is that a spur for your marine biology programs?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have students literally from all over the country that come for our marine biology program. I was talking to one young lady the other day, and she was from Illinois, and I said, how is it you heard about us? We don't recruit in Illinois. And she said, I Googled you. I Googled marine biology, and I also Googled field hockey because I wanted to play a little bit of field hockey, and Roger Williams came up, and so here I am.
Wow, that's a pretty interesting way to get somebody from
well,
Illinois.
Well, it is much more electronic now, and the kids these days are very savvy. We depend on them to find us as much as we find them.
I noticed that you also have upgraded programs recently in architecture and historic preservation. Is there a need out there that you're addressing?
Yes, our architecture program is one of our real star programs. It's just an extraordinarily good program. We were the first liberal arts college at the time in the country to have an architecture program. And we were the first in the country to offer historic preservation at the undergraduate level. These are, especially in this part of the world, just hugely important as we try and find ways of maintaining our architectural heritage. So it's not just a matter of designing new buildings. Sometimes it's redesigning old buildings for new uses.
Now, the future on your Bristol campus looks, actually, there's a lot of new building out there.
There has been. We've added three major new buildings in the last 5 years, and the campus looks great right now. It's one of our features. We find when we get people onto the campus, very often they don't want to leave again, and that's good for recruiting. But we don't have any immediate plans to grow the size of the campus, and therefore no great plans for expanding the campus in the near future beyond the fact we're building a sailing center for our sailing team. And we probably will be looking to add space in engineering and possibly in business, but nothing definite today.
President Donald Farish, thank you so much for your time, and good luck.
Thank you, Scott. It's a pleasure.